Hi, and welcome to episode 10 of the Four Seasons Podcast. My name is Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
We are coming to you from our closet.
We're trying to see if the sound is better this time.
Less echoey. There's a lot of clothes to act as sound absorbents.
So hopefully this works.
We are a little late on recording for this week's episode. Poor Rachel has not been feeling the best.
No.
Do you feel better?
I feel a little better. Still a little iffy, but well, pushing through for you guys, so.
That's right. It's dedication, baby. All right. I guess with that being said, let's go ahead and move on to our first whatever you want to call it.
Segment?
Sure.
Okay, so we will move on into trivia. So for this week's trivia question, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Who was the first president to throw out ceremonial first pitch at an MLB game? And again, I'll let you think on that. We will come back to it later. But the question again is, who was the first president to throw ceremonial first pitch at an MLB game?
Oh, man. That's going to be hard.
Okay, well, I'll let you think. We'll go ahead and move on to our second segment, and I'll let you go ahead and ponder on that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Just little tidbit, fun fact. When we started dating in high school, I skipped social studies every seventh period to hang out with you.
So you may not remember this one.
No.
I don't even think anyone will know this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it doesn't have to do with
Have to do with history?
Not really, in a way.
Except it does.
Okay, it does, but history would not have covered this, I don't think. But they'd cover the president, but not...
As long as you know who the presidents were around the time... Oh, man, baseball is so old. I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay.
We'll get back to it.
Sounds good.
Play the cut music. All right, moving on. I think we have come to a consensus that this segment will now be called Sports Nuggets.
Yes.
Did we come to that conclusion last episode?
We called it Nuggets, but we didn't officially...
Dub it,
so...
So, now that it's official, this is our Sports Nuggets segment. Anybody can, if they have an interesting nugget, we'd love to... read it out on the podcast. So if you have any nuggets for us, you can go ahead and send those to us at
thefourseasonspod@gmail.com.
Perfect. So I had one kind of prepared, and then as we were about to start recording, I was scrolling through the internet when I should have been prepping, and I came along this one, so I wanted to read this one.
Okay.
Said, with the Panthers' win over the Cardinals Sunday, cat teams versus bird teams is now tied at 209, 209, and 10 throughout the course of NFL history.
Huh.
And I have no idea if that's true or not. Okay. It probably is because I read it on the internet.
Everything's true on the internet.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I thought that was just kind of a funny little interesting thing.
That is. I like how they put it, cat team versus bird team.
Yeah. What I really want is... a legitimate team of cats to play a legitimate team of birds.
That would be very intriguing.
I want to see a panther fight an eagle.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will move on to my sports nuggets.
Oh, you got some nuggets.
I got some nuggets today. Okay. So this past week, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets has tied Larry Bird's all-time... triple doubles with 59. That was this past week. They've played in between, so that easily changed. But that was a pretty good accomplishment there.
That's pretty impressive considering how long. Well, Larry Bird's career was kind of cut short by a back injury, but still, yeah. All timer.
Yeah.
And Nikola Jokic, I would say, still has is at the beginning of his career, so
yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Another fun little nugget is each baseball game has 12,386,344 possible plays. That's just each baseball game.
You know what we need to research?
Okay.
Is we need to figure out how many possible moves there are in chess. I bet it's ever-changing.
Probably.
But I would love to see the difference between the number of moves you could make in a chess game versus...
a baseball game?
Yes. That's really interesting.
Isn't it? I saw that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the possibilities. Clearly there's a lot.
I started trying to figure them out in my head and
it didn't go so well.
My brain crashed.
Do you have any more interesting nuggets?
I got one more for you. This is the one I was originally going to talk about, so...
let's do it.
I just thought it was a little bit interesting. So, last Sunday, the Lions and the Steelers tied.
Yep.
16-16. It was Detroit's first not loss of the season.
Okay.
I don't know if you can be excited. You didn't lose.
They are.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard it called the kissing cousins game. Kissing your sister.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I did a little bit of research because I was just curious. The NFL adopted the sudden death overtime in 1974.
Okay.
Before that, there were a whole slew of ties, and I didn't really get too far into that because I think the game was still figuring itself out a little bit to a certain point. So, you know, it's like, oh, the game's tied. What should we do? Like, well, it's over.
Yeah.
So, but what I did know, but apparently a few players participating in that game didn't know, is even with overtime rules, the game can still end in a tie.
Yeah.
There were players, Najee Harris from the Steelers said, I thought I was going to have another quarter to play. I didn't know the game just ended.
Isn't it they each get a chance with the ball, and if no one scores, then
so the rules are the game is over if the first team to get the ball scores a touchdown or they get a safety. They get safety. Yeah, yeah. Game's over. If they take the ball and drive down and they kick a field goal, then the other team has a chance to answer.
Okay.
And then after each team has had a possession, then the next person to score wins, as long as a safety or a touchdown doesn't occur first. But if nobody scores after the 10-minute overtime period, game ends in a tie.
Okay.
So There were a few people participating in the game who didn't know that the game could end in a tie. But since the 1974 creation of the sudden death overtime, there have been 27 regular season games that have ended in a tie.
Well,
yeah,
only 27.
Well,
I mean, not only, but
I guess that's actually true. It's not. It feels like anymore. It's one a season, which is. I hate ties.
Especially for the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Like playoff board.
I just hate how it looks. I wish it was like other sports. Baseball. You play until somebody wins.
Yeah.
Hockey, if nobody scores, you do a shootout. Basketball, you play until somebody wins. The soccer ends in ties all the time, but sorry we discussed it. We're not really soccer fans here. I wish they would do college football overtime rules.
Because what are those ones again?
I'm going to be honest, I'm not as big a follower of college football, but I do want to say you start at your opponents. It's either 25 or 30 yard line.
Okay.
And it's kind of like normal rules. You can get first downs and you can score. You can score a touchdown. You can score a field goal. But then the other team gets the ball in the same situation and it goes back and forth. So you could score a touchdown, but then you could give up a touchdown. Keeps going back and forth. You could kick a field goal. Then they kick a field goal. You keep going.
Okay.
Until one team stops the other team and takes the lead. So, there's always a winner.
Yeah.
Whereas in football, it ends in a tie. Another little tidbit. There are, and I gotta pull up my notes here. There are a handful of teams who have never been involved, who have never tied.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills. This is not since 1974, I should say. Okay. Like I said, there was a ton before, but I don't really.
But since 1974.
Yeah. The Buffalo Bills, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, the Raiders, the Chargers, the New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints, and the Tennessee Titans, and the Chicago Bears have never been involved in a tie.
Really?
Since 1974. The Bears have, in their history, tied 26 times, but that was before the overtime rule, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of a little overtime nugget.
Yeah.
Little OTN, as nobody would say. But, so no. Yeah, that's all I got for you.
Okay. Well, again, if anyone has any sports nuggets, as we call them, you can always send them to us at thefourseasonspod@gmail.com, and we'd love to read those on the podcast.
Play the cut music.
Okay, so we're going to move on into our Fab Five, and to lead it off, I'm going to read a listener email. So it says, "Hi guys, really enjoy your podcast. Every episode gets better and I look forward to listening. With Veterans Day this past week, I thought it might be interesting to list athletes who put their careers on hold to serve their country. I know you both do a lot of research for your show, and that's what makes it fun to listen to. Keep up the good work." So with that being said, thank you, listener, by the way.
Yeah, that's a pretty... Now I feel pressured to do some good research on this one, which I think we did.
I think we did. So with that being said, our Fab Five this week is athletes who served. Would you like to go first?
Yeah, I would love to, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, go for it.
I would just like to, as I usually do, I have a little something to say.
Okay.
I know with Veterans Day being this last weekend, I think it's important to acknowledge all the people who we know that have served. I know your aunt and uncle, both my grandparents were in the Navy, your aunt and uncle were in the Air Force.
My grandpa was in the Navy as well.
And
your brother was in the Marines.
My brother is in the Marines, and we have countless friends and family members. I got a comment from my great aunt talking about the podcast, and she went through, and I apologize, I don't have that right now, but just all the people that have served, it's such a huge thing, and I just have a ton of respect for people.
And we hold a near and dear spot in our hearts for all the veterans, everyone who is serving and who has served, so.
I just know that, unfortunately, there are a lot of bad people in the world.
Yeah.
People who hate us just because of who we are.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about that, and so we have to rely on people who are willing to make the sacrifice of being away from their families, being in somewhere they're not familiar, being places they're uncomfortable, going through rigorous training. It's something that I could never do.
Yep.
And I'm so thankful that there are people who can and have.
Yeah.
So, with that being said...
Oh, sorry. A few of my cousins served, and one of my cousins is currently serving in the Air Force, sorry.
Oh, just to let you know. Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. Yes. So,
just throwing that in there. But other than that, didn't want to forget them.
Just tons of respect for them.
Yes.
Can't say enough about them.
No.
True real life heroes.
Yes. Okay. But with that being said, go on, honey.
All right. Well, this was tough for me because doing our research, I did not realize how many athletes past and present have served. So I went ahead and I called on a sixth man for this one. And this one I thought was an interesting one more than anything else. Obviously with Veterans Day, you think of America and the American American military and who served, but this one, I, while doing research, was just a interesting one that I wanted to point out. My sixth man is and I apologize if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Chan Sung Jung. He is known in the UFC circle as the Korean Zombie.
Okay.
So that's the one eye-catching thing. It was one of my most favorite nicknames that I've ever heard.
Korean Zombie?
The Korean Zombie, nicknamed for his unrelenting and unyielding movement towards his opponents, no matter how much he's getting battered, much like a brainless zombie.
Yeah.
He is of South Korean nationality, and in South Korea, all men are required to serve 2 years in their military before the age of 30. Now, it can go longer, and there are people who make a career out of it, just like they do here, but everybody's required to serve at least 2 years, and that's mostly due to the fact that they are neighbors with North Korea.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I'm offending anybody and breaking down, you know, making any bold proclamation that North Korea is a scary, crazy place.
Yeah.
And it's, you always have to be on edge, especially with them being your neighbors. So that's why everybody in South Korea has to spend at least 2 years serving. And so he ended up serving 2 years right in the middle of his UFC career. And he, so from 2014 to 2016, he went, served, and then he actually won his first fight after his military obligation by a first round knockout.
Oh.
And he still fights in the UFC today.
Okay.
So pretty impressive that he took a 2 year hiatus and was still able to come back and fight professionally.
There you go.
Now getting into my top five, my number five is Roger Staubach.
Okay.
Attended Navy University, won the Heisman Trophy, and was a selection by the Dallas Cowboys, and didn't start for or play for Dallas for 4 years because he was fulfilling his military obligation by going to Navy. He actually spent a year in South Vietnam and returned home. Was a 27-year-old rookie for the Cowboys. He played 10 years for them. He won 2 Super Bowls. And he's enshrined in the Pro Football and College Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So, number 5, Roger Staubach. Number 4, Jackie Robinson. And I'm going to be honest, when I looked this up, I actually had no idea Jackie Robinson was in the military.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all know Jackie Robinson is extremely famous for breaking the color barrier. But before he did that, he served in the Army from 1942 to 1944, and he was actually about to make it a career. He attended OCS, which is a operator school.
Okay.
And he had strongly debated about continuing his military career. He was basically drafted in 1942. In August of 44, he got on a military bus that was supposed to be desegregated. Driver still asked him to sit in the back. He refused. He ended up, when they got to their destination, he was arrested by military police. There was a trial for a court-martial for him. He ended up being dismissed, but all of this ended up kind of derailing everything he had planned on, so he was granted an honorable discharge after making it to rank of second lieutenant. Honorable discharge, November of 1944, and he ended up having a tryout for the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro Leagues and ended up turning that into breaking the color barrier with the Dodgers, and obviously the rest is history.
Yeah.
So, moving on, number 3, David Robinson, no relation to Jackie.
Oh, okay.
He is nicknamed the Admiral.
Okay.
Because he went to Navy. He is widely considered the greatest basketball player in the history of the Navy. He was a staff officer in the Civil Engineer Corps for 2 years. 2 years active duty, I should say.
Okay.
He was going to be a lineman for the Navy, but because of his height, he's a 7-footer, so he was able to come to an agreement that he would do the civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that way, he'd only have to serve 2 years active duty. Okay. So he served 2 years active duty in the military, went on to have a Hall of Fame career in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs, won a couple of titles. David Robinson.
Okay.
Number two was, there's a lot of ways I could have gone with this.
Yeah.
Around World War II, as I kind of mentioned, you know, Jackie Robinson, mm-hmm. lots and lots of people were leaving to go fight in the war.
Yeah.
A lot of professional baseball players. This is why we have the Women's League and, of course, one of our all-time favorite movies, A League of Their Own. Yeah. So there was a lot of people I could have picked from. Obviously, being a Red Sox fan, I went with Ted Williams. He debuted in professional baseball in 1939, and then he served in the military from 1942 to 1946, fighting in World War II. And I had to, there was so much, I had to just pull up, baseball awards aside, because he was arguably the greatest hitter of all time. He was also one heck of a pilot. He served in the Navy and in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
He was awarded the Naval Aviator Badge, the Air Medal with 2 gold stars, Navy Unit Commendation, American Campaign Medal, Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with Bronze Star, World War II Victory Medal, Navy Occupation Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Korean Service Medal with 2 Bronze Stars, United Nations Service Medal, ROK Presidential Unit Citation.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm not 100% sure what all of those are, but they kind of show the picture, and, you know, when you see somebody in the military and they have all those bars.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of them. Very impressive. It seems to me that Ted Williams was quite an individual.
Yep.
Pretty much talented at whatever he did, whether it was flying a plane, serving in the military, or playing baseball.
Yeah.
Is incredible because he had that 4-year gap in his MLB career. He still ended up hitting 521 career home runs. He had 2,654 career hits and 1,839 career RBIs.
Wow.
Elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1966.
Yeah.
Quite an individual.
Yes.
The first four people, really 5 people,
yeah,
on my list really made an impact in sports and were also in the military.
Yes.
My number one, I think, is mostly remembered for being a soldier, and that's Pat Tillman.
Yep.
I was 12 years old, 13 years old, when he was killed.
2004.
Yeah, I think I might have just had my 12. I would have, like, 12 and a half.
Yeah.
He was killed by what ultimately ended up turning out to be friendly fire on April 22nd, 2004.
Yeah.
He had played for the Cardinals in the NFL after 9/11.
Yep.
He finished his season with the Cardinals, and then the following offseason, he turned down a 3-year, $3.6 million contract. And I know, I'm sorry, you have that written down too, with the Cardinals, and enlisted in the Army, and
yeah,
pretty much went through training and deployed straight to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Anybody who's been to our house has seen I have that Sports Illustrated issue with him on the cover. I have that framed. It's one of my most favorite pieces.
Treasured piece as well.
Yeah. I still have a Pat Tillman jersey.
Yep.
I watched him play, and I remembered his name, and I was actually a fan of his before he even did that.
Yep.
And then to decide to give up that kind of money and fame and glory to serve your country is one of the most amazing things I could think of anybody doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I apologize. I'm going to start getting a little emotional.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, it's so sad, you know, yeah, for somebody to have that happen to them, to make that decision.
Yeah.
And lose their life like that.
Just selflessly.
Yeah. I mean, I was at I guess I would say influential age where it really just had an effect on me, and he's...
Yeah.
It's weird to say. It's just somebody you think about often.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes total sense. So, well, I'll let you gather yourself.
Yeah, and thank you. Yeah, please.
I'll read mine.
Please go ahead.
So, my number 5 pick is Tom Landry. He served in the Army Air Forces during World War II. He was assigned to the 860th Bomb Squadron as co-pilot of B-17 Flying Fortress bomber. He served 30 combat missions, even survived a crash landing after his plane ran out of fuel. I mean, I thought that was pretty...
That's Tom Landry, the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Oh, yeah. He played too.
Yeah, he did play, but yeah.
I remember him mostly as the Cowboys head coach.
My number 4 would be Ted Williams, as we talked about. So, my notes were, he served 2 tours as a Marine pilot, enlisted first time in 1942. He was a flight instructor during World War II, eventually flew 39 combat missions, then suffered an inner ear infection that disqualified him to fly again. So, that was my number 4. My number 3 would be Yogi Berra. He was a part of the D-Day invasion. He was stationed...
In Normandy.
Yeah. So he was stationed as a gunner mate just off the coast of Normandy Beach on a U.S. Navy boat. A year later, he had made his Major League debut with the Yankees.
Oh, wow. So he did that before he was in the Yankee.
So he did that, and then only a year later, he went to the Yankees.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's... I know he didn't, like, leave the sports industry, but I still thought, I mean, as part of D-Day invasion.
Yeah, that's huge. And he's a baseball legend.
Yeah.
And to just kind of imagine that he could have not ever been a part of baseball because he was serving his country is still...
Yeah.
He didn't leave, but he put his life on the line.
Exactly. Especially during D-Day.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number 2 pick would be Jack Loomis. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. He played 9 games with the New York Giants. He was a football player. He was in the Marine Corps Reserve. He went on January 30th, 1942. He was in the first wave of troops to land on Iwo Jima. He stayed on the island while others left. He helped knock out 3 enemy strongholds after injuries from a grenade. But unfortunately, he did die in the line of duty after stepping on a landmine. He had a quote that he told the field doctor as he was unfortunately just laying there. It says, it looks like the Giants have lost a good man.
A damn good end.
A damn good end. And he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he did receive posthumous promotion as well. So there's that for him. And then my number 1 pick, as we just discussed, is Pat Tillman for me as well. So as you mentioned, he did die in the line of duty on April 22nd, 2004. He left his $3.6 million contract. He was awarded Silver Star, Purple Heart, and also posthumous promotion. So, again, like we touched on, Pat Tillman, can't ever imagine, or... I mean, even with everyone, you don't...
Well, I didn't know about... This is kind of the nice thing, is before we do this, we will kind of discuss what we're going to talk about, but we try not to give away everything so we can kind of just react...
Yeah.
To what the other person says, and I had no idea about Jack Loomis, and that quote, again, is going to get to me just because the amount of bravery.
Yeah.
To just kind of, you know you're dying, yeah. And you're just like, well, sucks for the Giants, doesn't it, Doc? It's just,
pulls out your heartstrings.
Yeah. So. I mean, just know what a big old balls these guys had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I know we said we were gonna try to stop saying, you know, but what else can you say? There's not enough words to describe the boldness and bravery it is to go through something like that.
It's indescribable, to be honest.
And it's one of those things that makes you like I'm
forever grateful.
Forever grateful and very proud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on some lighter notes.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to the lighter stuff.
Okay, will do. Okay, so moving on to our trivia answer. So let's go back to the trivia question, and I'll see if you have come up with the answer. So the question was, who was the first president to throw ceremonial first pitch at an MLB game?
Okay. I have come up with an answer.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the answer, but I am going to guess my boy, Teddy Roosevelt.
No. Was not Teddy Roosevelt. And the only reason why you say Teddy Roosevelt is because all of your Roosevelt shirts.
Yeah, well.
I just had to make sure with me.
That Franklin Roosevelt.
Yes.
Is it really?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I thought you were going back on your... No, it was not a Roosevelt. The answer is...
Richard Nixon.
No. You're going to be surprised. William Howard Taft. On April 14th, 1910.
Okay. He was the big one with the mustache, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. But what game did he throw out the first pitch at?
Okay, so that was on April 14th, 1910, that President William Howard Taft becomes the first president to throw out a ceremonial first pitch at a Major League Baseball game. The historic toss on opening day is to star Walter Johnson, the Washington Senators' starting pitcher, against the Philadelphia Athletics at National Park in the nation's capital.
All right. Well, if you don't know, now you know.
I thought that's interesting. I didn't realize it was all the way back in 1910.
No, I was trying to figure, like, when did people... I don't know. I don't know what I thought, but I thought wrong.
No. There's a little sports nugget in addition to, I guess.
Yeah. When we came up with the idea for trivia, I thought I would be like the, the Schwab or whatever, where it's like, man, this guy just knows his stuff.
I'm trying to give you really hard trivia questions.
Well, you're succeeding because I'm not getting any of them right. And good. People are like, you might as well just ask, and he might as well not answer because he has no idea.
No. I don't know. You surprised me on some of them.
Yeah, well, I'm speechless, but...
Well, let's go on to our last and final segment.
Oh, before we do, remember, we're still looking for help with trivia questions, so send them to us.
Yes, at thefourseasonspod@gmail.com.
All right, well, as we always do, we're just gonna... cap off this episode with a little bit of what we're looking forward to.
Yep.
And what I am looking forward to is getting Simone Biles to respond to my to my DMs.
Did you send her a message?
No.
Oh, okay.
So first step, I'm going to send them.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm going to mention it every episode until...
until she comes on.
Until she comes on. We do know... a professional athlete, though.
We do.
And I'll tell you about who it is after we're done recording.
What?
Yeah.
You don't want other people to know?
No, I want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to us figuring out this setup a little bit more. We're going off of one mic, so I would really love if we can figure out how we can set it up to do multiple microphones.
Yes.
And then we can have this... professional athlete, who is a listener, by the way.
Oh.
And that's why this person said, hey, if you ever need a guest, I'd be more than happy to appear.
Okay. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And hopefully I don't build it up too much and then it's disappointing, but...
No, I'm excited, though.
I would love to have this person as a guest.
Okay.
So...
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
What about you? You got anything? What are you looking forward to?
I know it's next week, but I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Oh, we're going to be talking we're going to be talking a lot about Thanksgiving.
Yes, next week we are talking about our Thanksgiving sides, by the way. That is our Fat Five. So if anyone wants to send us an email to let us know their favorite Thanksgiving sides.
Yeah.
But, no, just...
And we're not, well, I guess we're kind of traditionalists, but... But, you know, if you got something special, like something that's a tradition for you, tell us about it. We want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Remember, we always tell people our Fab Fives are not about what does the general population think. It's what do we think?
Yeah.
What do I think?
We have, so when we do our Fab Five, we both research today or with today's topic, the service. Military service, there was, I think, 135 athletes who served. So we can easily choose any 135 of those. So if you guys have, you know...
If you guys have a side... from military service to side dishes.
Yes.
You guys got a side dish that's off the beaten path? Maybe you like, baked beans, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like baked beans on this...
To me, that's a summer food.
Yeah, but, you know.
Anyways.
We just tell people to reach out to us, and then we start knocking things they haven't even sent yet.
But we'd love to hear from you guys in all reality. You know, we want to include you guys in everything.
Yeah. So we're going to hit you... again, follow us on Instagram.
Yep. The Four Seasons Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter.
The Four Seasons Pod C.
Follow us on Facebook.
The Four Seasons Podcast.
And of course, reach out to us anytime through email.
At the Four Seasons Pod at gmail.com. And, fun little tidbit as well, we have now launched a website.
Oh, yes. That's true.
So you can go over to the Four Seasons Podcast.com. And it has our episodes. We're going to start blogging on all sorts of sports stuff. You know, it just fun little info.
Yeah. So check us out there. And I think that's all we got for this week. Like yeah. I said, we're going to go to weekly episodes now. So
yep. That's
this week's episode.
And next week we will tune in to Thanksgiving sides.
All right. Well, from the Four Seasons Podcast, I'm Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
Enjoy the rest of your days.